I had been asked to tell the story of how I had gotten my favorite scar. It was one of those icebreakers to begin a group conversation, and it's funny when I think about it now, people getting to know each other by telling stories about how they got hurt. Of course, we were only talking about superficial scars. And of course, scar stories are not really stories just about getting hurt. They're stories about getting better, how we healed from our hurts. Now, healing is a provoking topic. It has been a profound mystery to us as humans and captivated our attention since the beginning of recorded time. It has provoked all sorts of imaginative ideas in us about how it happens or why it doesn't happen, who it happens to, who it doesn't happen to. Every culture has its ideas about healing, and every culture has its healers, be they strange, magical wonder workers or highly educated professionals with practiced, data-driven skills. And throughout time, every one of us has gotten scars to prove that we've healed from something. To be human is to know something personal about healing and to be marked by it. So it should come as no surprise to us that Jesus addresses healing as he proclaims his message about the kingdom of God coming near. Today we hear from the Gospel of Mark that Jesus is healing people as he preaches the good news that God's liberating presence is here now. And that's good, right? But it unsettles me. Here's why. I've worked in hospitals for most of my adult life, and I'm startled that Jesus makes healing look so speedy. What I know about healing is better described by author Cheryl Strayed, who writes about healing by saying, there's so much work to do that has to do with forgiveness and anger, with acceptance and letting go, with sorrow, perhaps even a complicated joy, but those things do not move in a direct trajectory. They weave in and out of each other. They will punch you in the face. They'll make you cry and laugh. So if you can agree with me that this is a more realistic description of healing, what are we to do with this Jesus who just touches people and frees them immediately from their ills? Cast him out? I don't think so. Dig in with me. This gospel that we read today, the Gospel of Mark, it's the most direct, no-nonsense account of Jesus' life among the four gospels that we have. And it portrays Jesus as a man in a hurry. In this passage, he's liberating all people from whatever possesses them. And he's leading them in a new way of living in the world, even in the midst of kingdoms, worldly kingdoms. This new way of living in the world he calls the kingdom of God. And for some of the people that hear this message, the effects appear to be unbelievably immediate. But for others, liberation is going to take a long time. Consider Simon for a moment, who was mentioned briefly here because his mother-in-law is sick. As a reminder, Simon Peter, who's later simply just to be called Peter, is one of Jesus' disciples. And we heard the story of him being called from his fishing career to follow Jesus just a few weeks ago. Now, Peter is famous for having an impulsive streak. It trips him up over and over again. On one occasion, his impulsivity leads Jesus to rebuke Peter as though he's the devil incarnate. On another, he leaps out of the boat to follow Jesus on the water, and he sinks like a stone. For this and many other reasons, Christians everywhere love to make fun of Peter and his many mishaps on his journey. And yet, Simon Peter will eventually proclaim Jesus' message of liberation, and he too will free people from whatever possesses them. Much the way Jesus is doing here, but in this part of the story, Peter's caught in his own slow healing process, and his mother-in-law is the identified sick person. So, Jesus takes her hand, lifts her up, and she's freed to serve all the men in the house. So my suggestion to you here is to ignore the notion that this woman's purpose is to serve the men and simply pay attention to the pattern that's playing out here. The pattern is that Jesus is freeing people to live within the kingdom of God, even in the midst of the world, and to serve others from that freed place. That's the pattern that we'll see repeat over and over again in the next few verses with the next few people that Jesus encounters. And it's the pattern that we'll see in Peter's life, too. He's freed from what holds him back to live wholly within the kingdom of God and to share the good news about what that's like. And that pattern continues today. Here we are, thousands of years later, living happily ever after in the kingdom of God, right? No? No! So herein lies my second problem with this gospel. The kingdom of God, I believe that the kingdom of God brings liberation and healing. I do believe that. But I can't deny that historically the spread of this message has not been liberating. It's probably no surprise to you that well-meaning bearers of Jesus' message have spread other messages in its stead, like imperialism, or white supremacy, or ableism, or ageism, or the subjugation of women, or fear of the body, and I could go on and on. You probably could too. So I want to say really clearly right now, these are wounding, possessive messages, and they have no place in the message of liberation that Jesus preached. Yet many of us are still untangling our stories from these messages. Many of us don't have scar stories to tell yet about how we've healed from these things. And that can be really discouraging. And if that's where you are today, you're not alone. In the book, Meal from Below, Chris Rock writes, "Liberation runs in two directions at once. It looses the chains of injustice, but it also provokes the hidden mechanisms that inflict injustice. Good news awakens the angels as well as the demons." I think those are wise words for us to keep in mind as we reckon with these binding messages that have spread in our churches, because the liberating message of God, the kingdom of God within our midst, it's profoundly provoking. So I wonder, what does it provoke in you? Angels? Demons? Unhealed wounds? Scar stories that you haven't told yet? Whatever it provokes, hear the good news. God's liberating presence is here now, and you're not alone in this. There's more here than what is immediately apparent, and it's good. Now, I know that St. Mark's is a community that longs for liberation for the most vulnerable in our city. Our very origin is rooted in a desire to be a house of prayer for all people, and that's good too. But I wonder, if we were to admit our own wounds, how might we be dispossessed of what binds us? What scar stories might we tell then? How might we be liberated to serve others in new ways? I ask you all these questions because the message that Jesus proclaimed is for all of us. Vulnerable people, able-bodied people, ill people, status quo people, ordained people, successful people, hurting people, there are no qualifications to restrict us in God's liberating love. This is the miracle. This is the truth that heals in personal ways and collective ways, even in the midst of kingdoms of this world. But it's not immediate. It's slow. It winds, and it takes a lot of forgiveness and anger, acceptance and letting go, sorrow, and even a complicated joy. To heal in this winding trajectory and to bear the scars is to bear witness to the kingdom of God now. So my prayer is that we might be liberated to serve others in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen.